Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. If you have allergies, bad odors, or damp smells, you need the Thunderstorm. Go to EdenPure.com and put in code HOWIE10 to save $10 plus free shipping. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith. The last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Hello,
the new Aviva in Malden opens tomorrow. Visit avivatrattoria.com/Malden. Now, here's Grace Curley.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm so excited for the show today. So much hypocrisy to get to, and that's a daily occurrence, especially right now with Joe Biden as president. But there's some days it hits me harder than others. It's like pollen for Jared. Some days it really does. Sometimes it takes me back, and I got to catch my breath. And that's how I feel today, just looking at all of the different news stories. And obviously the one that broke yesterday, not necessarily the biggest one today, but one that stuck out to me was Chuck Schumer. He got in trouble. He was on a Zoom call. He was doing some podcast and he said the R word. And I haven't seen anything about it today. Really? You know, he didn't even bother coming out and apologizing. His representative did it for him because that's how nice it is to be a Democrat. And so I start thinking about it. And obviously the most recent comparison is Hunter Biden. Hunter Biden was throwing around a racial slur and the N-word on text messages to his lawyer, who's not black, another white guy. And you didn't read anything about it. Now, if these were high school students trying to get into University of Tennessee for track or something, the New York Times would be writing 2,500 word essays on these scandals. And actually, the New York Post put it really well. They said if these people were expendables, like you and I, we're expendables, we're deplorables, we're bitter clingers. They can, you know, you can get rid of the Neanderthals. Nobody cares. You can ruin a Neanderthal's life. No big deal. But specifically with the R word, the most recent thing that stuck out to me was there's this guy, Mark Andersini, and he's this big tech guy, and he was on a Clubhouse, and Taylor Lorenz, who is the hall monitor for the United States of America, she made up that this guy said the R word. She heard someone else say it, and she was in this Clubhouse anonymously or something, and she tweeted that this guy, his Twitter handle is P. Marco or something, that he said the R word. And this guy got more backlash for not saying it, for her making that up, than Chuck Schumer did yesterday. And that's one story today of like seven where a similar thing happens, where I have to do the old thing the Democrats tell us we're not allowed to do. Whataboutism? Because whataboutism is really just setting a standard and saying, if you're going to ruin the lives of high schoolers who do something, then the president's son deserves a little scrutiny. If you're going to make up stuff about one guy who's sharing his opinion on a Clubhouse, then maybe the Senate Majority Leader of the United States, maybe he should be held a little bit accountable. And the other one that I keep finding myself talking about today, and that's something I'm trying to learn to do as I get into this show, is really think about what is on my mind. What conversations am I having? You know, when I'm on the phone with my parents, when I get in here and talk to Howie, what are we talking about? And I keep coming back to this Chrissy Teigen story. Because Chrissy Teigen, for so long, someone from Barstool tweeted that she was life goals. You know, he said, oh, is Chrissy Teigen not life goals anymore? Oh, no, I'm so heartbroken. But that's what she was. You know, you go on the Cosmos, you go on the People magazines. She was life goals. She was so relatable and so funny. And she hated Donald Trump with a burning passion. She was so vile to Donald Trump. So they lifted her up. Another hero has fallen. What a fall from grace. And if you haven't been following the story, or if you're probably part of the group that's going, who is Chrissy Teigen? Chrissy Teigen's married to John Legend, another person, another brave soul in Hollywood who decided that he was going to really, really stand up for what he believes in and hate Donald Trump, because that takes a lot of courage in 2021. So he hates Donald Trump. She hates Donald Trump. They're married. And I distinctly remember, and you guys got to keep in mind here, got to give me a little break. Celebrities are my bread and butter. You know, that's really where I shine. But I remember when Kanye West came out and supported Donald Trump, John Legend sent him a text. Don't do this, man. And Kanye put it on his Twitter right after, screenshotted it. But these people have really, you know, they were celebrities to begin with. But when they made their mark against Trump, they became uber famous celebrities. You know, Chrissy Teigen had some sort of cookware deal with Target and all this stuff. So some old tweets came out of hers where she was bullying, and I'm using that word. It does not do it justice, what this woman was doing. She was bullying young celebrities like Courtney Stodden, who I'm not going to get into. These are all kind of like B-C list celebrities, and saying horrible things. You know, telling her to kill herself, take a dirt nap, I think was one of the phrases. She said horrible things about Lindsay Lohan, adding slits to her wrist. And Lindsay Lohan does have a past of self-harm. And so she comes out with all these apologies. Oh, you know, I'm not the troll I used to be. And that's fine. Whatever. But these are the same people who tried to convince us that they are the ones, they are preaching to us about how we should live and who we should vote for and how racist we are and how horrible we are and how mean we are if we like Donald Trump and how stupid we are. We're all so dumb. These are the heroes that the left, that the mainstream media wants you to look at and go, oh, life goals. So she comes out with this big apology, right? And I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, cancel culture. When it happens to, let's say, a football player at, you know, some university, he gets canceled, then that's permanent, you know? He's probably going to have a really hard time. He's probably going to be ostracized, have a hard time getting a job. But when it happens to a celebrity like Chrissy Teigen, it usually goes a different route. It usually goes that they get canceled, and then they get backlash for whatever they said, and they become the victim. And they say, everyone's being so mean to me, it's been so hard. And then they make a comeback. And I thought that was going to happen for her. I did. Because, you know, a couple weeks went by, and these were the only tweets that really came out. Until yesterday, when something very interesting happened. This guy, Michael Costello, he's a designer. And he put up a story on his Instagram where he talked about how at one point, in 2014, a photoshopped comment was floating around. It was from a disgruntled employee of his. Someone photoshopped a comment and made it seem like this man, Michael Costello, used the N-word. And he didn't. It was proven to be false later. Instagram took it down. But Chrissy Teigen weighed in on this. She must have seen it on her feed or something, and she weighed in. And because she was such a mega celebrity, it picked up a lot of steam. And this guy, Michael, started messaging her, basically begging her, please call me. This was a mistake. This is photoshopped. This isn't real. I'm getting a lot of heat for this. And I want to read you the exchange, okay? Because I just want, and I know nobody cares about Chrissy Teigen, especially in my audience. I know it's like, who cares? But I just want you to keep in mind that, again, when they tell you and when they tell your kids who are the heroes and who are the cool people and who are the people who know better than us, this is who these people are. He writes to Chrissy Teigen, Chrissy, can I call you? She says, no, I do not have anything to say to you. You will get what's coming to you. He says, Chrissy, I've never called anyone the N-word. Those fake images were photoshopped from a former disgruntled employee. She says, good luck with that, LOL. Hope that story keeps your already dead career going. Then he writes, please call me. He writes his number. I am suffering from this more than you can imagine. So many people are attacking me over this. It's a fake story, but your comment is adding more fuel to the fire. And are you ready for this? This is anti-Trumper extraordinaire Chrissy Teigen, good. Racist people like you deserve to suffer and die. You might as well be dead. Your career is over. Just watch. And then she went on years, this happened, where she would find out someone hired this guy and call them allegedly and get him, you know, blackballed from the industry. This guy, Michael Costello, said he contemplated suicide because of how much she ruined his life. So now she's telling us she's not the troll she used to be. Call me skeptical. And again, I just want to point out that the only reason the mainstream media loved her so much, well, one of a few reasons, is that she hated Trump. So she must be good. Like Dr. Fauci, he must be good. Like Andrew Cuomo, he must be good. Like Michael Avenatti, he must be good. Like Stormy Daniels, she must be good. As long as you hate Donald Trump. And they're setting themselves up for disappointment every time. Their heroes end up being just terrible people. Just terrible people. And I saw someone write this on Twitter today. They said, calling this bullying is a little bit of a stretch. This is psychotic behavior. This is diabolical. And then there's also, speaking of celebrities, the Jon Stewart of it all. He went on with Colbert and said what we've been saying for, what is it? What has it been, like eight months now, a year?
450-something days.
Yeah, we've been saying that this is more likely something that this virus came out of the Wuhan lab. Scott Hounsell, a good friend of the show, he's come on numerous times to talk about this. Dr. Rand Paul, Senator Tom Cotton. There's so many people who broke this story and were called fringe and were called losers and were called tinfoil hat conspiracy theorists and were just laughed out of town. Dr. Scott Atlas, deplatformed, censored, kicked off. People had their licenses revoked for these ideas. But Jon Stewart does it. And guess what? He's so brave. He's so wonderful. Add him to the wonderful list. Can you tell I'm frustrated today? But I'm happy too. I'm happy too because I'm happy that I think this is the end of Hollywood. I think that they've exposed their hypocrisy to such an extent that there's no turning back. Maybe Jennifer Lawrence can save it with her voting campaign. But I think Hollywood is done. We will be back with more. We are going to play that dreadful cut of Joe Biden just completely losing his train of thought. It's getting really bad. 844-500-4242. So much more to get to today, so don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley.
All right, I will get to the Joe Biden stuff, guys. I promise I will. But because we started with celebrities and Hollywood, Tinseltown, the beautiful people, I do want to talk a little bit about this Jon Stewart clip. He was on with Stephen Colbert, and he's getting so much praise. I guess people think it's really funny what he said. It's fine. I mean, it was. I guess it was funny compared to Jimmy Fallon and Jimmy Kimmel and Stephen Colbert. It was hysterical, but that's a bit of a low bar. But he said what a lot of people have been saying, which is, you know, you connect the dots, to quote Maxine Waters, and you can pretty much logically assume that this has a very good chance that the virus came out of the Wuhan lab in China. And we'll play the sound, and then I want to talk a little bit about this, because maybe I'm off here, and I would love people to weigh in. Maybe I'm missing out on why Jon Stewart is being so brave. And I know he has big fans. I know people used to really like him. He was a little bit, he was on when I wasn't as interested in politics, so I never really watched him or anything. But I'm confused why this guy is getting like this huge round of applause from conservatives for saying what we've all been saying for months. All right, let's play it. Go ahead, Jared.
How do you feel about the science now?
Well, so I will say this. I honestly mean this. I think we owe a great debt of gratitude to science. Science has in many ways helped ease the suffering of this pandemic, which was more than likely caused by science. So, and that's kind of...
Hold on one second.
No,
let me pause here for a second. So Stephen Colbert does this whole thing where he like squirms around and can't believe that Jon Stewart is going to say this. You know, it's so outrageous that someone should speak a little bit of common sense from the same people who talked about, you know, the Russian hoax and, you know, lie after lie after lie for years. But Jon Stewart says something that's not absolutely insane. And Stephen Colbert, he's like, oh, hold on a second. I got to get my coffee for this. Wait, hold on. Whoa. All right, keep going.
Now, listen.
It's coffee. I wouldn't do that to you.
What do you mean
by that? Do you mean like there's a chance that this was created in a lab? There's an investigation.
A chance?
Exactly. I mean, even Stephen Colbert right now in this moment is too much of a wimp to say what everyone's thinking. He's like a dead ender. How he talks about the dead enders with the masks. He is. When you think of loyal to the Democrat talking points, you have Stephen Colbert. He takes direction well.
There's evidence, I'd love to hear it.
There's a novel respiratory coronavirus overtaking Wuhan, China. What do we do? Oh, you know who we could ask? The Wuhan novel respiratory coronavirus lab. The disease is the same name as the lab. That's just a little too weird, don't you think? And then they ask those scientists, they're like, how did this... So wait a minute, you work at the Wuhan Respiratory Coronavirus Lab. How did this happen? And they're like, a pangolin kissed a turtle.
I 1,000% agree with him. I've said that myself. I'm not going to play you guys my old cuts here. But everyone has said that. Everyone who has half a brain and is conservative has said the same thing. But I love how Colbert goes, there's evidence of that. You know, they're big on evidence when it's a talking point they don't like. If there's evidence of that, you know, please show me. That's like saying I come in soaking wet from outside and I say it's raining. And Jared's like, well, if there's evidence of that, just look around. Open the window, you dim bulb. It's right there. And the worst part is that Jon Stewart goes out, and someone had a great, this guy Eric Weinstein made a great point. He said, when a scientist says what Jon Stewart says here, before Jon Stewart says it, they can be thrown off Twitter or throttled for racism. But when Jon Stewart says it, it's mainstream. Remember this the next time we are told as an inconvenient voice. Oh, remember this the next time we are told an inconvenient voice is a crank. Yeah. If I had said what Jon Stewart said at a barbecue with some of my liberal friends, whew, I would not be invited back. It actually sounds a little racist to me.
Racism, racism.
And of course, it just makes sense, but it's like you're a little late to the party. Congratulations to the comedians who were supposed to be really bringing in all the edgy dialogue to our society for jumping on this about a year later. Whoop-dee-doo. We'll be back with some Biden sound, and I want you guys to weigh in 844-500-4242.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. And by the way, just to go back to the Chrissy Teigen for a sec, because I see it on the Fox News, the whole cancel culture thing... I don't think that's what this is. If you have a habit of telling people to kill themselves in direct messages, I think we've passed the scope of cancel culture. You're beyond the Dr. Seuss.
That is straight up abuse.
Yeah.
That is mental abuse.
That is diabolical. All right. Now, before we get to your calls, 844-500-4242, and before I play the Joe Biden pause heard round the world. Today's poll question is brought to you by Perfect Smiles. Don't be fooled by imposters with similar names. If you're unhappy with your smile, you need to visit Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. I love everybody at Perfect Smiles. I got a cleaning there and I was just blown away. I mean, Howie talked about it all the time. He said, it's going to be the best cleaning you've ever had in your life. And I thought he was exaggerating, but he was 1,000% telling the truth. Call 1-844-A-PERFECT-SMILE or visit perfectsmiles.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will you get vaccinated so you can participate in the Massachusetts Vax Millions giveaway?
I like a little voice there. Vax Millions. It was a little bit producer's picks mixed in. So let's explain this to people. Massachusetts launched Max Vax Millions vaccine lottery program. Now, if there's a lottery program in Massachusetts, can Howie Carr rig it? That's my question. I mean, he got his vaccine a little early on. This could have been a nice payday for Howie. Massachusetts residents that are fully vaccinated will now be able to enter the Massachusetts Vax Millions giveaway, Governor Charlie Baker announced on Tuesday. Of course, we're late to this, too. I mean, the governor from, what was it, West Virginia, he was giving out guns like a month ago.
Yeah, Ohio did a vaccine lottery as well.
Yeah, de Blasio was giving out French fries and hamburgers. Like, it feels like a year ago now, and we're just getting on this? A little bit late, Charlie, like everything else. We're behind the other states. Fully vaccinated residents 18 years or older will be able to enter a lottery to win $1 million cash prizes. All right. We will talk about this. I think I'm actually going to save this for the next hour. We can take calls on it. But I don't have a problem with it. I mean, if I'm going to get vaccinated, I'd like to win a prize. A prize to me is always a good thing.
91% of the audience says no, they will not get vaccinated so they can participate in the giveaway.
Okay, now this is important because this is the way you phrased it, Jared, which you were totally right about, like everything else. The question is, would this motivate you to get vaccinated?
Right.
And my answer for that is no, but I think my answer is no because I don't have a tendency to play the lottery. Like, I'm not one of those people who buys a scratch ticket or plays the lottery often. In fact, I used to work at this place. It was a financial planning place, and they would oftentimes, if there was huge, like Mega Millions, they would say, everybody pay in. And they would ask me, because I was just a college student, they'd say, do you want to pay in and be part of the thing? And there was only like 8 or 9 people that worked there. And I wanted to say no, because I didn't want to buy into it because I knew we weren't going to win. Like, our chances were so small. But then I thought, if they win and all of these people become millionaires and I didn't get in on it, I'll regret it to the day I die. But in general, I skip, you know, playing the lottery. So I don't think this appeals to me. But just one more thing here. I plan on going on a honeymoon that might not be in the United States at some point, and I do not want to get tested 2 days before and have Logan tell me, listen, you can't get on the plane because you happen to have COVID. That, for me, is a motivation, you know, to be able to travel. And that was Howie's motivation as well, to not get caught up in the thing. So everybody has their different motivations. If you love Krispy Kreme, maybe that's going to be your incentive. But if you waited a little bit longer, you could have played the lottery. Scotia, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Scotia.
Hey, Grace. You know, you were talking about Hollywood being dead, but I think that they're actually starting to call in the big guns because I heard today that
Malia Obama.
She has a job in Hollywood working for an Amazon TV show, and she's not even graduated from Harvard yet.
Yeah, I did hear.
I thought that was interesting.
I did hear that a while ago that she has a job. But I mean, honestly, that they all, a lot of Democrat kids, I mean, Chelsea Clinton, Howie could tell you, she worked at NBC, is like the highest paid intern of all time. I mean, you know, shredding paper. She got paid in the six figures. So, I mean, Malia Obama working at Prime is just, it's expected, you know, compared to, I'd rather politicians, celebrity kids go into Hollywood than go into politics. I actually prefer that. Thank you for the call, Scotia. All right, now, speaking of politics, we do have to get back here to a little bit of Joe Biden. I know I avoided it as long as I could.
Come on, man.
But he had this cut yesterday. So he showed up to this presser and he was 2.5 hours late. Is that what clocked in at? Okay. Any explanation? Because I remember one time Trump went to like go out to dinner without telling the Secret Service. And we that was, you know, that was five, that was the biggest deal in the world. It was like, ring the alarm bells. That was a big deal. Joe Biden shows up 2.5 hours late. Still no explanation. Nobody knows why. Perhaps he had to go find an orange Gatorade and just went to a bunch of different stores around the area.
Well, it's tough to find American brands overseas. You know, sometimes you gotta hunt.
Yeah, exactly. But he did show up, and the most notable cut, and there are a lot. I mean, there are a lot. But the one that really gained some traction was, it had a bunch of pauses in it. And I want to say this right now. I know I'm new at radio. I know that. I'm new at hosting, I should say. But I understand that as a radio host, we're not really supposed to have so much dead air. I get that. And as a matter of fact, I try to fill it as often as I can. But in this situation, I think the dead air is necessary to understand just how bad this is. So bear with me. You didn't lose your signal. We didn't drop off. But this is the pregnant pauses of Joe Biden.
Well, look, I mean, he has made clear that the answer is, I believe he has in the past essentially acknowledged that he was, there are certain things that he would do or did do. But look.
Now, Bonchi from Red State, I like the way he put this, okay? He says, that was probably the most awkward moment of his entire trip. Calling that a pregnant pause would be offensive to real pregnant people who typically give birth in less time than it took him to finally answer that question. Was he waiting for help, or is his brain really just that broken? Either way, there is no explanation available that says anything good about the country's top leader. The president is not well. This makes the U.S. look incredibly weak, because the U.S. is incredibly weak right now. I'll tweet that out. But, I mean, the level of that pause, and I threw this out there today, and I am curious, because I read the comments on Twitter when I see a video like that, because I got to see what people are saying. And the thing I see the most is, well, he's better than the last guy. It's refreshing compared to the last guy. And here's what I want to say. If we've got any Democrats out there listening, if you happen to turn this on and I've got you for 5 seconds, this is all I'm going to say. I understand that you hate Donald Trump. All right. Message fully received. I get it. I've sat with it. I understand it. I know you have no regrets about voting for Joe Biden. I know it's going to be the best thing you ever did for the rest of your life. I know that no matter how high the gas prices get, or how high the price of red meat is, or, you know, how much of a disaster the border is, I know that you are happy that you voted for Joe. I just want one Democrat to acknowledge that what we are seeing is not good. That this man, for a bunch of people who psychoanalyzed every time Donald Trump had a glass of water or walked down a ramp, if you watch those cuts, you don't have to be next to him like Antony Blinken to understand what's happening. I just need to know that on some level, as CNN would say, an apple is an apple, a banana is a banana. That we're all kind of aware of one reality. Because what I see underneath it is, at least he didn't say to inject Lysol into your lungs. If you think cognitively these two men are the same, then I can't argue with you. We're starting at a place that is just not honest. Bob, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Good afternoon, Grace. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
So Benedict Baker comes up with another plan to spend $6.5 million of our tax money to give away to people that probably don't have a job or anything. But don't we need, the last thing we're doing is spending our tax money on lotteries.
That's a really good point.
How about you just give everybody that got a, if that's going to be the case, why don't you just give everybody that got a vaccination shot $500? I mean, I think you'd make 4 million people happy instead of like 5 people, or 10 people in this case.
Yeah, no, that Bob, that's a very solid point. I know. And especially when when you really think about it, I read this yesterday, but 40% of small businesses went under this past year. And there were some places like Florida and Texas where they really did try their best, even at the beginning of this, when they had to be extra cautious. They tried their best to make it as easy as they could for small businesses and for the economy and for taxpayers. But we did not do that here in Massachusetts. So you're absolutely right. I mean, it is kind of a slap in the face to people. Oh, we're going to give one person $1 million and then everybody else. Well, you're still lucky you got the vaccine. Lucky you. I know. For some reason, I think it's because I haven't gotten the vaccine and I don't really plan on getting it anytime soon. I am not particularly offended or amped up about this, but I am curious what other people think, especially people who did get the vaccine. You know, have nothing. I shouldn't say have nothing to show for it. I think it's great if you got the vaccine. That's wonderful. But from a prize perspective, you have nothing to show for it. You didn't get the French fries. You didn't get the beer. You didn't get the joint. You're not high as a kite. You're not drunk. And you didn't get the lottery ticket. So you must kind of feel like a sucker right now. Maybe we should bring Howie in here and ask him if he feels like a sucker. That's just my take. Speaking of suckers, though, did you guys hear that Hunter Biden's artwork is actually getting good reviews?
Crack, you never go back.
And it's worth a lot, experts say. This is the latest and unexpected news. Who would have thought that the same mainstream media that ignores the laptop from hell, you know, ignores the meetings with the... ignores the fact that this guy got a massive diamond from a Chinese businessman. Ignores the fact that he ignores his other child with his mistress. Ignores the fact that he casually throws around the N-word. Who would have thought that this mainstream media would be a fan of Hunter's artwork? And here, and I'm going to save this for the other side, but I know it's hard to keep track because, like I said, he's the talented Mr. Ripley. I mean, he's got so many gigs. Actually, you know what? The talented Mr. Ripley is Brian Williams because he's a con artist. Hunter is like Forrest Gump. He's everywhere at all times. So he's a locomotive expert. He's a businessman. He's an artist. What can't this guy do? Wait till I tell you. The reviews are in and they're fabulous. Leo, you're next with Grace before we go to break. Go ahead, Leo. Leo.
Yeah, Grace, how you doing?
Good, what's going on?
I call you Amazing Grace.
Oh, thank you.
Because you are amazing with the topics. I can't believe our world leaders, how weak they were over at the G7. Not one of them demanding that China let us in to investigate. And not one of them really blaming China. One of them not even angry about it.
Yeah. No, I know. And Leo,
it amazed me.
You know what's funny too? I was talking with people about this morning before I got into work. It's funny because they're all super tough talkers when it comes to Vladimir Putin. And Vladimir Putin, I mean, I feel this similar as how Trump felt. Where I'm not saying I love the guy. I'm not saying he's a good person. But he kind of just looks at all of them and is like, eh, whatever, you know, whatever. But they all talk really tough against Vladimir Putin, which makes me think they're not actually afraid of him. You know, because then you have the Chinese government where there's actual issues that they could call out right now. I'm not saying there's not in Russia, but the foil between the two. Like they focus so heavily on Russia and Putin. And, you know, Biden says, what did he say to him? Like, you have no soul or whatever he said. And then on the flip side, when it comes to China, who potentially just unleashed a virus that killed 600,000 people, I think.
Yeah, John Stewart said it, so it's fact.
Oh, thank you.
It's sacrosanct at this point.
John Stewart said it, so I'm no longer going to be booted off YouTube. All right, so we will be back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's The Grace Curley Show. Grace Curley. She's working for you.
I'm like Bette Midler and for the boys. Got to keep the troops entertained.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Hunter Biden's artwork is actually good and will be worth a lot. Who do you think his investors are? Perhaps he has some interest from overseas investors. Let's see. Scandal-tarnished first son, Hunter Biden's newfound career as a painter may actually prove to be a success, as experts say his artwork is impressive and will fetch big bucks. I think it's pretty strong. I like it. Mark Tribe, chairman of the MFA Fine Arts Department in New York City School of Visual Arts, told the Post, "The colors and compelling organic forms. It's the kind of organic abstraction that I find easy on the eyes and provokes your curiosity."
How much Parmesan cheese have these people been smoking?
That is a very... I thought you were going to say how much Parmesan cheese is on the canvas.
No, we know where all the Parmesan cheese is.
Well, I remember him when he first started this endeavor, because it has to do with blowing ink through a metal straw. And I just found the thing kind of amazing that he was going to have, like, open up this studio or whatever. But it's just one of his, so many talents. And these are the ones we know, you know? We haven't gotten through that whole laptop. These are only the talents we know of right now, Jared.
What else can this guy do around the house?
When we get back, I want to talk a little bit more about this vaccine lottery. And I also want to talk about what's going up in prices. They're saying it's a record rise in U.S. wholesale prices over the past year. And I have been noticing it, Jared. I really have. There's certain products I buy that I go, wow, that is expensive. Now, of course, I always go for the sale stuff. But with some things, you need to go with the high-test brand. You have to go brand name. And things are getting pricey. But again, keep in mind, no more mean tweets. So when you're buying that expensive peanut butter, I just want you to remember that. We'll be right back, everybody. It's the Grace Curley Show.